Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. And this morning we'd like to preach on faith. Faith is the absolute requirement for relationship to God. You won't have no relationship with God without faith. And the more faith you have, is the more better your relationship will be with God. Tell you the truth about it, without faith, you have nothing. You have nothing. Without faith, nothing's going to be accomplished. You can do nothing. You have nothing. In this chapter, we'll start out with the first three verses. We read the word faith 23 times. 15 great Bible characters are named in this chapter, and all had one thing in common. They had faith. I got to reading yesterday of Abraham, and then, of course, Noah, and some of the things that their faith did for them and they were able to do for God. Every one of us must have a practical working faith that gets things from God. I mean, that's what faith is for. Get some things from God that we need. And we've got to believe that. Or we will fail in our Christian life and we'll be as cold and we'll have a cold, kindly work salvation. Well, I got to do that. No, we don't have to. We get to. We get to serve a God. We get to be a part of His kingdom. Now, I want us to look at the first three verses of Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Everything that has been accomplished for God in the Old Testament, starting with the Old Testament and coming into the New Testament and up to this present time, everything that's been accomplished by God has been accomplished by faith. Every person sitting here this morning needs faith. We need to see some things, God working, see some results in our own life, in our own faith. We need to see that we are having a productive life. If not, we're bound to get depressed and miserable if we can't see letting God work in our lives and having the faith to believe Him. We need to get to the place in our Christian life where we have to see God work. We have to see God perform. We're not interested in just what man's able to do, but we want to see what God can do. If God is working in the service today, there'll be great things accomplished beyond our imagination. I mean, God will be speaking to hearts and lives. Maybe I pray constantly for young people. I say, Lord, you do in their life what you did in mine. And I knew that this. Hey, I'm here standing behind this desk is because of what God's did in my life. Not because it was what I wanted, but I had to get to the place where I believed what He wanted and I wanted to fulfill what He wanted. We got to get to the place where we believe God. We don't believe society. We don't believe a lot of things because, man, I tell you what, you might as well forget about a lot of the reports that we get over the news wire. But we need to believe God. We need to believe what He says in His Word, that it's true. All of it's true. We may not understand it, but it is true. We can depend on it. We can build our lives on it. I don't want to live without family. Hey, we can build a church on the Word of God. We won't build one in any other way. We can build a good family on the Word of God. That's what He tells us how to do it. And if we have the faith to believe, if we'll do what He says do, and by faith accept that He's going to do something. I never one time, and I've mentioned before, I knew I wouldn't raise perfect kids, but I never one time ever believed for one moment they wouldn't serve God. I might have been naive. And tell you the truth about it, now I've got great-grandkids, same way with them. They may let... you say, well, it may not happen. Well, it may not, but it's not going to happen because I don't believe it. It won't be my unbelief. And now great-grandkids, you know, a dozen or so of them. Hey, I just can't believe. I just can't believe they won't serve God. I can't believe they'd be so dumb and naive. But I'm here to tell you, we're living in a dumb world when people won't serve a true living God that loves and proved His love and is able to do for us, and His Word works. It works. It won't work if you don't believe it. It works. All of it that I could believe has worked in my life. And I've got to see faith. I got to see faith work in my home. I got to see faith work in church. I got to see faith work in my own life. It's faith that's going to work. We all need to see faith work. I can't be satisfied until I see God working. We should not be satisfied with kind of maneuvering so we'll look good. Moving around and so people, deceiving people so we'll, hey, we shouldn't be concerned about that. We don't have to be concerned about that. You look at verse 6 there in Hebrews. I hope you're still open to chapter 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So it's impossible to please God without faith. What does that mean? It's impossible to live the life that He wants us to live without faith. And you're not going to please God if you're not living the life that He's taught us to live. Unbelief don't please Him. There's no other way of pleasing God until you open up the book and read it and say, God, help me to practice what you say. Most of us got our own ideas of what we're going to do, and how we're going to live our life. And we flub it up everywhere. Not only our own life, but mess up everybody's around it. It's impossible to live the life of the Bible without faith. It's impossible to have the kind of marriage that we're supposed to have without faith. And the kind of family without faith. It's impossible to live the kind of life the Bible tells. Hey, don't you know most of the Bible was written to tell us how to live the Christian life? Huh? Hey? I mean, it wouldn't have took all that Bible to tell us how to get saved and go to heaven. Most of the Bible is written, especially the New Testament, to tell us how to live our life. We ought to open it up and read it and apply it. And put it to practice and see what God will do. It's not just formality. We shouldn't come in here today well, it's a thing I've always done. Formality and tradition. You believe this is God's word? That He's rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There's not been one person ever sought after Him but got rewarded for it. But He won't reward you when you don't seek Him, when you push Him away and you won't open up your life to Him. That's a sign of unbelief. God says, hey, boy, it would be something if God's people and Baptist people in churches like this all over would start believing the Word of God about how we are to conduct our life, and when we go to town, how we are to look and how we are to talk. Brother, it would transform things and there might be hope. Not because the pastor, preacher, he believes you ought to do this and that. Hey, you don't have to pay any attention to what I believe if I don't take it out of the book. I'll be honest with you. My personal beliefs not worth much if I don't get it out of here. It's not because Pastor Parker thinks you ought to do this and that. The Bible don't say it's hard to please God. The Bible don't say it's difficult to please God. The Bible says it's impossible. Impossible. No one's going to please God without faith. No one's going to please God until you open up the Bible and you start believing what you read here in the Bible that God has preserved for us. Then we start putting them in our life. And it pleases Him because then our life is going to count for something. But without it, you can't please God. The only thing in my life that ever pleased God when I take Him at His word and believed Him. Amen, preacher. In Luke chapter 18, verse 8, Jesus asked, you don't need to turn unless you want to, but when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? We've all read it. Ask yourself, if Jesus come today, if He come while we're still here, would He find how much faith would He find in us? How much faith? How much belief, really? Does he see faith working in our lives? Think about the day we live in. Sodomites in America are protected by law, and Christians are shown as being weird. Would you ever thought we'd reach that time? Abortionists are protected by law. Those Christians who really founded our country are thought of as being weird. Back yonder, when Hitler and the Germany killed millions of Jews, it was a horrible time, but not near as bad as the millions of babies, innocent babies, have been killed. Defenseless babies. That's worse. What kind of day do we live in when we can, as a country, see this happen and our leadership defends it and promotes it? Somebody's going to say, well, where's God? Well, He's on the throne. He taught in His word that this would happen. And it's happening. And everything else He taught in the word that's going would happen, it's happening right before our eyes. There was a time when God blessed our country. When we followed His word, He blessed our country more mightily than any country in the history of the world. But now He can't. You know why He can't? There's so much unbelief everywhere. The state houses no longer believe. If you think they didn't used to, you go in there and look at the scriptures all over the walls. They want everything kicked out that has anything to do with God because they don't want to believe anything. If you want to know what's happening, that's exactly what's happening and why it's happening. You know, I thought of Revelation 12, verse 11. They overcome Him. They were coming by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Brother, our testimony, our life is our testimony. We spend our life like a tale that's told. A preacher can get up and say what he wants to when our bodies roll across in front of the church or wherever. But we've already written a script. Brother, it's written and it's there. We've spent our life like a tale. We have a testimony. And the only way we can overcome Him is by the precious blood of the Lamb. And that's our testimony. Brother, we are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, not with corruptible things like silver and gold. We're redeemed with His precious blood. And it's not cheap stuff, and it's not cheap grace, and our life shouldn't be lived cheaply. Amen, preacher. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it to you. According to your faith. That's the kind of Christian life you're going to have. According to your faith. That's the kind of marriage you're going to have. That's the kind of home you're going to have. That's the kind of children you're going to have. According to your faith. That's the kind of church you're going to have. You'll never see anything greater than what your faith brings. Your finances. Your ministry. It's not, well, God will take care of things. I don't find that in the Bible. Yeah. Hey, he's got it already taken care of ahead of time. We sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. We sow to the Spirit, and we reap life everlasting. That's how God takes care of it. He takes care of it according to His Word. You already know how He's going to take care of a country when He gets kicked out. Or an individual, when he's rejected. Look at it. A Bible's record of that. You'll never see anything greater than what your faith will bring. It's according to your faith. Matthew 9:29. We live in a day when we don't raise. We don't raise kids anymore. We let them raise themselves. We don't believe in bending them over to straighten them out. Brother, you're going to have to bend them over if you want to straighten them out. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction drives it far from them. And if a child don't get that rebellious will broken and out of his life, he's going to rebel all the way through life. And then he rebels against God. And boy, I see it everywhere. Hey, preacher can preach his lungs out to homes that don't correct their children and teach them authority and back the authority everywhere it is. And so naive to think they're going to turn out all right. No. Thousand times no. That's unbelief. I know it's not popular, but I quit if I ever did start run a popularity contest. You know, if you don't take care of your money, you won't have any to take care of. God has a plan about that. A lot of the mess we get into because we want more than we can afford and get ourselves in a bind. That's nothing but selfishness. But our government taught us well. I mean, taught us well, isn't it? As long as you can borrow it, spend it, maybe somewhere down the line, kids, grandkids, great-grandkids going to have to pay off the bill. That don't sound honest to me. But you'll go no farther than your faith goes. Sometimes we witness somebody and the devil will say, well, they'll never get saved. And we kind of agree with the devil. Hey, they might well get saved when God, the Holy Spirit, starts swinging them out over hell and they can see what it means to be eternally lost. Well, I look out to people that probably if I'd have witnessed to them, I would have thought they'll never get saved. As children is concerned, we allow them to get all caught up with all these modern devices, Facebook and all that junk. I know you'll say, hey, it can be used for good. Well, why isn't it then? Huh? Why isn't it? Well, we ought to have revival. I'll be honest with you, if I was young raising them again, they'd never see their face in Facebook. I'd try to keep as much as I could in the book. And all these other devices that they have to have on the ear all the time. Well, yeah. If we don't have faith, we'll miss church when it's convenient. But people that really believe God don't do that. Forsake not to assemble yourself together as a manner of some is, and even so much more. As you see the day approaching, have you read it in Hebrews? You know why? How does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You'll be helped today if you listen. You say, well, boy, what I need is more faith in God, not faith in myself. Faith says, I'll trust God. Whatever is not of faith is sin, Romans 14:23 says. If you're not handling things in your life by faith, you're handling them in a sinful way. And it will not work. Somehow, we got people thinking that the Bible's kind of obsolete. Boy, it's up to date as it can be. It is. You can't get around it. The Bible couldn't be more clear. We just can't live without faith, without believing God. It's too costly. If we don't have faith, we sin. And we're steeped in sin, and the sin has wages to it, results to it. We let our kids run with the wrong crowd. I'll be honest with you, Grandpa and Grandma can't run with the wrong crowd and not affect them. I saw Grandpa and Grandma decide they change churches and go to a church that don't believe the Word of God and don't get much preaching, and they get more liberal. That's why you fire me, I'm going to be looking for a church where I can get fed the truth. I need help. And I'll find it in the Word of God. Find it when somebody gets up there and preaches the Word of God and warns. You know something? Why in the world aren't we having revival when everything's such a mess? Why aren't we praying to take it to the Lord, Brother Tully? I'll tell you why. We don't believe it. We don't believe we have a revival. We threw up our hands. Well, I believe it's the last days, but I also believe what God told Paul to tell Timothy after he said the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Children be disobedient to parents and proud, boastful, disobedient, and so forth, without any kind of a natural affection. But he ended up saying, do the work of evangelists and make full proof of your ministry. Didn't he? That's why Paul could end up saying, I fought a good fight and kept the faith and finished the course. And henceforth there's a crown for righteousness laid up. If we don't have faith, we won't support our local church that Jesus loved and gave himself for it. Successful Christian living is living by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. 1 John 5:4 said, "This is the victory that overcometh the world." How many times would God have to say it on every page? This is a victory, even our faith, overcomers. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. And according to your faith, be it to you. We need to get up in the morning and get in the Word of God, read in John, Romans, and read until we get something out of it, and then pray. When we pray, we need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray for faith. We need to pray for our church, pray for our family, and just live our life by faith. Just live it. Live it. By faith. Find what it says. Be faithful. It's required. God requires faithfulness in steward, being his steward. And when we don't, it's because we don't believe him. And I've always saw those folks that are not faithful. It never turns out very good. Let me ask you. Are you satisfied with your life? I'm not completely satisfied. I never have been. I need to keep pressing. I mentioned, faith is mentioned 23 times in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. What we're being taught is that we must have faith today. Just as they did in the beginning. Just as Abraham had to believe God and went out as God called him out to, and he sought after a city that had foundation, who builder and maker was God. Just as Noah had, when he's being warned of God as things not seen as yet, no rain and flood like that, moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household. We're in the days of Noah. We need to be making sure we build some ark for the saving. We're going to go under. What we're being taught is we must have faith, just as they had from the beginning of time. The chapter starts with Abel and Enoch. That was before the flood. Then he talks about Noah after the flood. Then Abraham and Isaac and Joseph and the Israelites, and then he gets into the age of Moses. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but chosen rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, what a mouthful. I tell you what. A lot of people today is looking for a church that don't have much standards so they can enjoy the pleasure of their own lust. You know why they do that? Unbelief. Unbelief. Hey, Moses, do you think you made the right choice? When you suffered, chose to suffer affliction with the people of God, do you think he made it? Aren't you? Hey, you could have been the next ruler there on the throne. Brother, you had it made, and then you got transported out there in the desert for years, taking care of them lousy sheep. You know what Moses answered be. You know how he endured as God called him back there to lead those children of Israel out of bondage? You know how he endured all their mumbering and complaining? I'll tell you how we all endure when God puts us in any kind of leadership. It's not all that easy. We endure as seeing him who is invisible. We keep our eyes on Jesus. It doesn't matter where or when you live. The only thing that brings victory in any time, last days or any time, is faith. Is faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of it not seen. They knew what faith was. They lived by faith. And then verse 13 says, and these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and was persuaded of them and embraced them. I sang most of the songs, at least the last verse, I sang it by faith. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way, has prepared a dwelling place there. Faith. Faith. Mommy, is it as good as you thought it was? And I hear her say, son, I hadn't seen, or ear hasn't heard, neither entered the hearts of man, things God has prepared for those that love him. By the way, what's the devil doing for you? I'll tell you what he's doing for you. He's messing up everything for you. He's like a thief. He comes not, he's stealing from you and he's killing from you. The good shepherd we sung about it today, and praise God for it, give his life for sheep. If you really stand for God in the home, in your family, in your ministry, you'll learn what faith is. You'll do it because you have faith. You won't do it because what everybody's going to say. You'll get criticized by your own church people. The problem with most Christians today is they have no more faith than unsaved world does. We believe just like they do. But we want to add Jesus on. We want to go heaven. But I don't know why. I don't know why most of the world wants to go to heaven. They'd be miserable. Because there's not going to be no contemporary mess up there. I mean, you talk about living in a day when Baptists don't want anything hardly to do with holiness. The Bible's full of, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy God. Now I'm getting ready to close. Faith is not blind optimism. Faith is a substance. It's substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not blind. It's not the power of positive thinking. Faith is not looking just for the best. Faith is not just keeping your mind under control. And it's not having a strong will. Real faith is much believe in God, a faith that finds the promises of God in the Bible and receives them. That's what real faith is. We believe in God. We believe the promises of God about wisdom. Any man lack wisdom? What is he supposed to do? Ask God. James tells, any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and upbraideth not. Boy, don't we need some wisdom. The Bible is full of promises God makes. Quit dreaming about your want life. what you want. You look at somebody else, you don't know what kind of mess they're in. Most of them people who chased after things of this world, and in so doing, they've denied the Lord, maybe, you know, giving him such a little of their life, and they don't have peace. Quit dreaming about what you want, wishing for. Even quit saying, "Boy, what I wish I had joy and I had peace and I had a miracle." Get a vital faith. Just believe God. Trust Him for whatever He puts in your way. We may need to go through some tough times. Young preachers want to start out with a big church right off the start. Most of them flop. Maybe. I started out over at Bounds Creek. We had about 20 people, and that was more than I could pastor. I went on to Coldwater, and we had about 30. And boy, I got called to the big town of Marquand. And we was running 80 on Easter Sunday, up 120 and 130. But hey, I wasn't seeking after a big church. I was scared to death, but when the call came, somehow, if I thought God was in it. And here we are. We have to have faith. Make right decisions. Practical faith. Hey, we got to raise a family, what people are afraid of today. Raising a family that's different. Hey, do you see the silliness of it? We're so afraid our family's going to be different than the world. How in the world are you going to change anything if you let them raise some more just like the world? Huh? What's something? How foolish. Satan can mess up our minds. We ought to raise the kind of children God wants. We ought to have the kind of church that God wants. And we could have if we come in here just saying, "God, speak. I need your help. Speak to me, Lord. Work in my life. My life is not what it ought to be." But we say by our action it's okay because we never make a move. A lot of us don't. And therefore, we'll live and die about the same old way. But it could be different. I'm preaching to myself this morning as much as you. Practical faith, verse 2 says, "By it the elders obtain a good report." And he's talking about these are listed here in chapter 11. Abel, Noah, Abraham. God saying at the end of their lives, God could see that they made the right decisions and gained the right results. They saw miracles. Wouldn't you like to see a miracle? And I'm not talking about you. Something monetary. He might, if you could handle it, he might do that. Because it does take money. And I'm not that. Sometimes the way I preach, you think we all ought to be poor. I'm glad we're not. We'd be out without air conditioning. We wouldn't have the money to pay the bill. Hey, God don't want his... He didn't put the diamonds or the good things for the devil's children. He didn't, for his concern. But if you start seeking them things first, it ain't going to work. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and let him add what he wants to, and then it's okay. Now I'm just trying to find a place to land here. In verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. I have no problem with that at all. Man, I like, you know, when you start thinking about Jesus and tonight, we'll think about some about the question he asked his disciples when he come into Caesarea Philippi in Matthew 16. Whom do men say that I am? What do you think people is talking about who Jesus is? If we can get that settled, you know, I never get tired singing. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. You know why we don't maybe not know him as good as we ought to? Is our faith. I mean, he's a great creator. Read it in John 1. Without him, there wasn't anything made that was made. Here he is, Bethlehem, manger, the creator of the universe, the worlds. And then we wonder if he can take care of everything. He's the compassionate Christ, the crucified Christ. If you're here this morning lost, you don't have to worry at all about his concern for your lost condition. He's already taken care of that for you, if you'll believe it. The only reason you're lost is you don't believe him. Either that or you don't want to go to heaven. Brother, you're as much as there when you open up your heart and call upon him. Save me, Lord. You can try to make a deal with him and all that, but he's going to be Lord. You're not going to make a slave out of him. He did all his slave work while he was here and going to Calvary. Even though he was rich, he became poor. You say, Lord, take me. Save me. Cleanse me. I'm just a sinner. And without you, I'll spend eternity in hell. And you walk down an aisle, fall on your face before him. Your eternity can change, and that'll work for lost church members too. Believe him. Believe him. I don't believe myself. I see what people can get their own lives into that I never would have thought. We shouldn't believe self. Believe him. You can trust him. You won't have to wonder. I read stories all the time where people lived a sinful life would wonder, well, would he save somebody like me? Well, sure, that's what he came. He didn't come to call righteous people. There's none. There's no righteous people in the way, according to him. And I believe him. There's none righteous, no, not one. Brother, we all need to fall before him this morning. For that concern, man, we all do. Our righteousness is, and that's the best part of this, is like filthy rags. But when we trust him, we get his imputed righteousness. God deals with us then as children, not, and he don't chastise the devil's children, but he does his own. He deals with us differently. That's why we can rest assured we're saved. We're saved today and saved forever. Would you bow your heads?